Scoop! Mason, Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, John. Kansas City head coach Andy Reid has just agreed to a new six-year extension with the Kansas City Chiefs, although we don't know the details. They are reporting that he will now be one of the highest-paid coaches in the NFL. John, take a shot. Who are currently the top five highest-paid coaches in the NFL?
So Reid is not one of them?
Reid will be one of them when they announce the terms of his deal, but okay, he's not so, one of them at the moment.
Okay, so I'll say Bill Belichick.
$12 million, yes, number one.
Pete Carroll.
Number two, $11 million.
I will say, I'm trying to think of whether or not they actually would have paid him. I'll give it a shot since he won a Super Bowl. John Harbaugh.
Number five, $9 million a year. Yeah, you got it. So you're missing number three and number four.
All right, I'm going to go, because he also won a Super Bowl, Mike Tomlin.
Mike Tomlin not there. Okay. Not in the top seven, at least. I've got the top seven.
So Mike Tomlin not there.
This guy won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I'm figuring it has to be if you didn't
win. Both of these guys won Super Bowls.
If you didn't win a Super Bowl, okay.
You're missing the obvious one.
Okay, so Doug Peterson wouldn't be there yet.
Give you a hint, $100 million.
Oh, John Gruden.
Yeah, John Gruden is number three at $10 million a year.
Money.
The other one won a Super Bowl but was actually suspended a year because of...
Sean Payton.
Yeah, Sean Payton, 9.75. Sean McVay's $8.5 million a year. That's the seventh highest paid coach in the NFL. To you.
Okay, Mace. Pac-12 presidents and chancellors are considering a major overhaul to the entire structure and composition of the conference, including contract issues, according to internal documents obtained by the San Jose Mercury News. The plans are outlined in a series of emails focused on hiring somebody above Larry Scott. It would be a media consultant.
Really?
Who would be given the authority to work independently and report directly to the presidents.
Really neutering Larry Scott,
right,
isn't it?
Can you think of any reason the Pac-12 presidents wouldn't do this like today? Larry Scott has been a failure by any measure, and he makes more money than all the other conference commissioners.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you do this? What's holding them up?
Yeah, I have no idea. They've done so many dumb things. They moved their fancy offices to San Francisco.
Where there is no school.
Where there's no school. He makes a ton of money, as you mentioned. TV deal, terrible TV deal with the Pac-12 network. None of it has worked. I don't know what they're waiting for. I do think that he should be neutered. I think the power should go elsewhere. He's probably under contract, and they can't get rid of him at this moment. But I if I was the Pac-12 chancellors and presidents and all that stuff, I would find somebody else to be the commissioner or put somebody over him.
Hey, related question. You look at what's going on with college football, and like, for example, in the Big Ten.
Yep.
They are all outraged that there's no football. The people in Michigan and Ohio, the parents are threatening lawsuits and the players are holding press conferences. Anywhere where there's not college football, people are really upset.
Yep.
Except in the Pac-12. It's like nobody cares. They announce there's no football. It's like, all right, we'll go do something else. Why do you think that is?
Liberal states who completely are paying attention to what's going on with the coronavirus. If you look at the Pac-12 conference, you've got how many schools in California?
Four.
Four.
But
you've got two in Washington, another very liberal state.
Right. But
you've got Arizona, which is a swing state, where
right.
I think people respect the rules and virus
Colorado,
more.
Colorado,
Colorado's
Oregon.
A liberal state. Oregon's a liberal state. Yeah, I mean, I think the difference is that people in these more liberal or blue states seem to have more belief in the rules and in the virus itself. I think that's why you're not seeing the same outcry. I know that the president of the United States called the Big Ten commissioner yesterday, And that led
on the 1 yard line, Mace. Yep. They're on the one. What are you talking about? Led to nothing. He got them to the 1 yard line.
They've already stood by their vote. It's not going to happen. The Pac 12 is, or Big 12, Big 10 is not going to happen.
As Paul Feinbaum said on Get Up this morning, the commissioner of the Big 10 found out why Donald Trump is a professional politician. He played him like a guitar.
Yep.
Yeah. All right, it's you.
All right. Monday, American tennis darling Coco Gauff was eliminated in the first round of the U.S. Open in New York. She's currently the number 51 player in the world. She was beaten by unheralded Anastasia Sevastova. The U.S. Open's being played without fans, and ESPN tennis analyst Chris Evert thinks that they would have swung the match the other way. Everett said, I think an American crowd would have lifted Coco and helped her to win that match. She would have won the match if she was playing in front of 22,000 people who are cheering for her. So two things. Would Coco have won the match? And what have we learned from watching sports without fans?
Okay, first of all, I agree with Chris Evert. I think Coco would have won that match. I've been to the U.S. Open in person twice. And there's an energy in that Arthur Ashe Stadium that is hard to duplicate. I was there the year Jimmy Connors went on that magic run.
Right.
And Mace, it was undeniable that the crowd helped him considerably. The crowd was openly rooting against his opponents in every match. And so when for example, Novak Djokovic, who's the number one ranked player on the men's side, lost his first set today. I assume he came back and won, but I have no idea. It's just a different animal there with no fans. And what we've learned is it is kind of a little bit of a great equalizer. Home court advantage, I think the Lakers would be much more prohibitive favorites if they had the home court advantage. If the Lakers end up playing the Clippers, that would have been seven Laker home games.
Right, right.
Because nobody likes the Clippers. And down in the bubble, it doesn't matter. You know, you're just, it's kind of an equalizer. So I think it does make a pretty big difference. What do you think?
I think it is different. I think that not all players in all sports have reacted the same way. I think there's a degree of having to create your own adrenaline. You know, you get a lot of adrenaline, NBA players in particular, so much adrenaline from a crowd, right? You've heard LeBron talk about, I'm here for the fans. That adrenaline has got to be self-generated now because it's not happening externally. And I think some people are doing it better than others. Some people are able to recreate that level of adrenaline and that level of urgency that they would have with fans. But not everybody does.
Yeah. But I agree with Chris Evert. I think Coco Gauff would have won. All right, it's me, right?
Yes, it's you.
Okay, in game one of the Heat-Bucks series on Monday night, Jimmy Butler went off for a career-high 40 points.
Yep.
This is a little surprising because Milwaukee has the recently named Defensive Player of the Year, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Yep.
But Giannis didn't even try to guard Butler.
Correct.
And when he was asked about it after the game, he seemed defensive. When he was asked by a reporter if he asked to switch on to Butler during a late-game explosion, Giannis said, quote, to guard him? No. I didn't. Why would you ask me that? I'll do whatever the coach wants me to do. End quote. How can you be the Defensive Player of the Year when you don't even want to guard the other team's best player who is lighting you up in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I mean, he's Defensive Player of the Year. He will wind up being the MVP. And I thought that was soft, the fact that he wouldn't take Jimmy Butler toes up and was asked about it afterwards. And to me, it's a no-brainer. If you're a great player, if you're a great player, you want that assignment. You want to try to stop that guy because that guy is the one who's beating you. You know, he can defend wings. He can defend Jimmy Butler, and he should have.
Anthony Davis takes on other teams' guards. I mean, he'll guard anybody. There's a story that in 2011, the Chicago Bulls had a really good team. And Derrick Rose was the MVP of the league when he was only 21 years old. And the Bulls were the number one seed in the East.
Right.
And Rose came out in game one and kind of had his way with the Heat. And LeBron said, that's it. I got him. And after that, Derrick Rose was a non-factor, and Miami knocked the Bulls out of the playoffs. And that happened at one of the Olympics you were at. Kobe, Spain had a really good team. And Spain had Serge Ibaka and the Gasol brothers and Ricky Rubio. And one of their guys got hot. and Kobe went into the huddle and goes, that's it, I'm taking him. Everybody, you guys just take care of everybody else. This guy's not going to score again. And Kobe locked him up.
Yeah.
That's what you do if you're the defensive player of the year. Come on.
Yep, completely agreed. Giannis has a lot to prove. He's a great regular season player right now, but he's yet to show that he's a great postseason player. It's early. He's still got time to do it. But I thought that was a discouraging sign the other night when he didn't take Jimmy Butler. All right, John, NBA legend Michael Jordan is taking an equity stake in DraftKings in exchange for becoming a special advisor to the sports betting and fantasy sports company. Jordan, who is the chairman of Hornet Sports and Entertainment, will provide guidance and strategic advice to DraftKings' board of directors. So a couple of things. Actually, the first one, how is this not a conflict of interest? He's an NFL, an NBA owner, and he's involved in this DraftKings thing.
Because Adam Silver has embraced gambling. Adam Silver has already said that there's going to come a day where his fans sit in his arenas and make bets on their phones.
Right, but not owners. Michael Jordan knows too much. I don't understand how you can have an owner in on a betting. I understand why, for example, regular rank and file fans. I mean, a lot of the scrims that people talk in front of now, coaches and players, have DraftKings or have FanDuel on them. I understand that the sport has embraced it, but for an owner to be involved in it, I think is a completely different animal, especially given Michael Jordan's love for gambling.
Disagree. I think long before Jordan was the owner of a basketball team, he was the biggest name in the sport. Some you could argue could be. So why, of course. Now, if you find out that he's personally betting
playing
on Hornets games,
yeah.
then I'll come over to your side of it. But just as an advisor to tell them how to do things and where they might get inroads with fans, I could completely. So why wouldn't you want Michael Jordan on your side?
Okay. Do you play fantasy, daily fantasy? What do you think about it as a business? Have you ever thought about playing?
I don't think I'm allowed to. And what I mean by that
is... Even for football?
I think when you sign with a professional sports team, one of the things in my contract is I can't gamble on sports. I've never looked to see if it's just NBA or other sports. I just took it as long as I'm the Laker announcer, I can't gamble on sports. So the only gambling I do is Mythical Money with you.
So I play daily fantasy during the NFL season. It's one of the highlights of my week. I'm much better at daily fantasy than I am at
than you are in our fantasy
John.
Football league. Yeah.
I'm in a league with Max Kellerman and Marcellus Wiley and Bill Wolf, who's an executive at ESPN, and a bunch of people like that. And I probably Raj, who's producing Max's show, I probably win it, finishing the money half the time. So I'm really good at that. I don't understand why I'm so bad at season long fantasy.
Yeah, I don't either. Well, you don't draft well, and then when the season starts, you give up too early. Like, I started 0-4 one year and finished second.
Yeah.
If you started 0-4, you would start tanking.
It's a now they've got a rule in our league where you're not allowed to tank.
It's called the Mason rule.
The Mason rule says you're not allowed to tank.
That if the commissioner sees you playing stiffs, that he can alter your lineup.
Yeah, because I probably did carry it too far last year. That last week of the season, I probably did carry it too far. I think I started a bunch of guys who weren't playing.
Yeah, I think you ended up winning that game, though.
It was against you.
Yeah, I think I lost it.
Did you? Really? I didn't tank enough?
Yeah, I think I'd have to go back and look, but I know I said, how am I losing to this team at one point?
Well, this is
yeah,
the
maybe
year.
Maybe I did win because another team made a big stink about it. But I
2020 is the year of Mason, John. I'm telling you, I got this league by the – I've got it.
2020 sucks.
Yeah,
you can have 2020.
This is my year to win, though. This is my year to win,
please.
Finally. Led by Christian McCaffrey.
That's who you're taking with the first pick?
Yeah, first pick. Who would you take?
Mahomes.
Yeah, see, I'm not going to take a quarterback with my first pick.
Okay.
Yeah.
People don't even take Mahomes in the first round. Why would you take him with your first pick?
Yeah, wait till you do your mocks.
Yeah, I haven't
Mahomes
done them yet.
Mahomes doesn't come up in the first round.
Lindsay may be drafting for me. I got to wait and see if there's a Laker game that night. When is that?
Too.
Yeah, so I'll know by the end of this week, I think.
Okay, there is your scoop for today. Mesa in Ireland, 710 ESPN. Hope you're keeping listening. Stay tuned because something we say is going to be the quiz on Friday where you can win a 2021 Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson and OC Mazda. So, again, pay attention to absolutely everything. You know, John, that question we had about Colin Kaepernick and the idea of him being in the Hall of Fame is stirring conversation on Twitter. What do you think? How many people do you think say yes?
Twitter's a kind of pretty liberal platform, so I would say it's north of 50%. I'll say 65%.
Nope, only 35% say yes, 65% say no. But let's put this out on the phone. I'm curious about this one because it raises a whole bunch of really interesting issues that we've been talking about. Should Colin Kaepernick, and he's been nominated by a guy in Vermont, which is a legitimate way to nominate somebody for the Hall of Fame. He sent a letter to Canton. Should Colin Kaepernick be in the Hall of Fame, given his social influence and his relevance to basically every athlete in sports right now, in some way imitating or doing what Colin Kaepernick did 4 years ago that got him blackballed from the league? 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-ESPN. Mesa in Ireland, 710-ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
710 ESPN, Mesa in Ireland, thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for being out there. We appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed Max Kellerman a little while ago and Mike Greenberg and Keyshawn before that. Got a brand new lineup in it. I think it's kicking ass, personally. John, would you say the new lineup is kicking ass?
Wait, how many times have you heard the morning show?
You know what? I have heard it. I have.
Oh, stop lying.
I get up early.
I can hear you spinning. Da, da, da,
I've got a rooster in my yard, it crows, and that's when I know it's time to listen to Keyshawn.
Today was the right day because they announced who's going to be on Dancing with the Stars. By the way, did you hear about this? Number one, Carol Baskin?
Yes.
That murderer is
the first killer ever on Dancing with the Stars.
And how about Charles Oakley?
Yeah, I think he's going to be a total clod. When I think of Charles Oakley, I don't think of Dancing Grace.
So because they announced that today, a large portion of our morning show, I was out driving around this morning and was making fun of Keyshawn for being the very first person knocked off in his year of Dancing with the Stars.
As he should be made fun of. As he should.
So, that was announced.
What? How do you think Carol Baskin's going to do?
Terrible.
Oh, I think she's going to be great. All you cats and kitties, she's going to say that every week. She's going to come out dressed like a cat.
This is ridiculous. Would you have?
She's going to dance with like a Tony the Tiger costume on.
No, no. She already, when they announced her, like, that she's going to be on the show, she's out dancing with a stuffed tiger.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Nice. Well, you know, the thing I hate,
her husband to a bunch of tigers. And I mean, would you have OJ on that show? No. Why are you having Carol Baskin on that show?
Yes, they totally would. If they could get OJ, they 1,000% would.
No, they wouldn't. No, they wouldn't.
You don't think so?
No, absolutely.
Lindsay, be careful. We're owned by Disney.
Yeah, but I mean,
I feel like they're really there. They are. There's like, it's been publicized that they're struggling to get contestants this year, celebrity contestants. They thought that Tyra Banks would help, but she's actually hurting. So I would imagine that O.J. Simpson being a controversial figure similar to Carol Baskin, I would think that they would try and get him.
The difference between Carol Baskin and O.J. Simpson is two trials.
Right.
He had two trials, and we saw all the facts.
And a lot more evidence.
And all we have of Carol Baskin is our suspicion that she dumped her husband into the tiger cage.
Oh, jeez.
Which is crazy.
That's ridiculous.
The thing I hate about that list of Dancing with the Stars, and I don't watch the show. It's kind of like everybody's mom watches it, I think. Does your mom watch it, John?
I don't think so.
Older women love Dancing with the Stars. They
I'll
just think
ask
it's,
her.
It's the best thing in the world. Old ladies love dancing. So Johnny Weir is in there. And I'm like, that's not fair. Johnny Weir, that's what he does. He's a figure skater.
Christy Yamaguchi, didn't she win her season? Yeah, it's fair.
It's an unfair advantage.
Dancer.
How do you put Carol Baskin and All You Cats and Kitties against Johnny Weir? Johnny Weir is a professional at this stuff, waving his arms in fancy ways and all that stuff.
I will be rooting openly for Johnny Weir.
Will you really?
Of course. I don't want that Carol Baskin winning anything.
Yeah, I don't think Baskin can win. I don't think Baskin can win. And I don't think Charles Oakley can win. And I don't think Vernon Davis can win. Those are the two sports guys, Oakley and Vernon Davis. I don't think either one of those can
Rick
win.
Rick Fox, who made it to the Final Four, told me he's never worked harder at anything in his life.
Yeah,
said that once you get deep into it, you're right, practicing 4 or 5 hours a day.
All right, so we got started on this conversation because Colin Kaepernick has been nominated for the Hall of Fame in Canton in a very unusual way. The website for the Pro Football Hall of Fame says any fan may nominate any player, coach, or contributor who has been connected with pro football simply by writing a letter to the Pro Football Hall of Fame. That's what Bob Burkett from Vermont did. He nominated Colin Kaepernick for the Hall of Fame, and now he will be under consideration. And we asked the question, do you think, given his social influence, Colin Kaepernick should be in the Hall of Fame?
My first thought was no, but I also don't think you can tell the history of the NFL without him. So I think he should be considered. But I think, Mace, if you left it up to me, for me, it's probably a no.
For me, it's probably a yes.
All right, 877-710-ESPN, 877-710-3776. Here's Victor on line one. Hey, Victor, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, hi, guys. I appreciate it. My answer is going to be no. I think we're getting too political with sports. Then somebody's going to come up with some other kind of same thing that he's going to get considered, and it's going to kind of turn in a snowball effect, and it's going to get away from sports a little bit too much.
Okay, but Victor, let me throw something at you here. Not that these are the same thing, because they're not. But Jackie Robinson, based on his numbers, probably doesn't get into the Hall of Fame. He played less than 10 years. He didn't have, like, blow-you-away statistics. But because he broke the color barrier in baseball and opened the door for so many black players behind him, he wasn't only an absolute lock for the Hall of Fame, but they retired his number. Isn't that all political?
Yeah, you're right. But let me ask you this.
Yep.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Do you guys honestly think you are the majority when it comes to thinking that Colin Kaepernick, what he did is something very, very special? I don't know necessarily you guys are the majority that feel that way.
You know what? It's a fair question, Victor. I don't know if we're the majority, but I think even you would admit, Victor, that what he did, which was basically he gave up his career because they blackballed him, to support police brutality and racial injustice. Can't we admit, even if you don't necessarily agree with how he did it, that he was ahead of his time? Look at the rest of the country. Go ahead.
And that's what I'm saying, John, because it becomes too political. Now, I don't agree, but I don't want to get into it because it's – I was in the Marine Corps, and I got different feelings about it.
Okay.
Well, good. What are the feelings? What are your feelings?
That I don't agree him protesting against the American flag. Because I had buddies that died and for the colors. Whether we're ignorant or not, when we fight for those colors, it doesn't represent racial racism for us.
So you still believe that he's protesting the flag, that all these athletes that are taking a knee right now are protesting the American flag and not protesting against police brutality?
They don't mean to, but in reality, they do disrespect the flag, even though they say they don't mean to. I understand they don't mean to, but they do.
But to you, it means something different. I understand.
Yep, got it.
All right, thank you, Victor.
Hey, thanks, Victor.
Taking the time to call. That was a good
appreciate
call.
It.
877-710-3776 if you want to jump in on this.
Yeah, I just think that in a lot of ways, Colin Kaepernick has been a – he was talking about police brutality when very few people were talking about police brutality. Now we all talk about it. We all talk about the social justice movement. We all talk about Black Lives Matter. We've seen athletes across sports take a knee during the national anthem to raise awareness for social justice issues. I mean, this thing was started. It was begun. Everything we see right now was started by Colin Kaepernick. That's how influential he's been.
Right. So, you know, if you did put him in, and you're leaning towards putting
as
him
a contributor, as a contributor,
I would I'm on the fence, but would probably lean no. It would be for the same reasons that Jackie Robinson got in, that he did something at the time that was incredibly difficult, and he'll be remembered for being on the right side of history. And I hesitate to make that comparison because I think what Jackie did was harder, but that doesn't mean what Colin did was not hard. I think it was. And I think he gave up his whole career for it.
Yeah, totally agree.
Here's Tim in L.A. Hey, Tim, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hi, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. Absolutely.
Before I say anything else, I got to say, John, you're totally wrong with your Jackie Robinson comparison, because Jackie Robinson was elected to the Hall of Fame because of his prowess and skill as a baseball player. If Jackie Robinson was white as snow, he was still a great baseball player.
Well, look at what I'm saying is, Tim, if you look at his numbers and compare them to the other people in the Hall, they're not blow you away numbers, but he put those numbers up while everybody was yelling the N-word at him.
Right.
Which,
right.
You know, if you watch the movie 42, have you ever seen that, Tim?
Yes, I have.
Yeah, I mean, there's no way you can come out of that and not think that Jackie Robinson belongs in the Hall of Fame. I mean, he just put up with so much crap. But go ahead.
Now it's for Kaepernick. I understand the rationale and the logic. He is a contributor to the sport, and as you said, he can't tell the history of the sport without mentioning him. But I would say no to him in the Hall of Fame right now, because the story is so far from being completed. We're on chapter 4 of a long process of social change. So to just put him in here now, I say wait, let's see how this plays out historically. And if in 20 years football has had a substantial and an actual change that is long-term,
hey,
sustainable,
Tim,
then consider Kaepernick for the Hall of Fame. But I'm going to throw another name at you who should be in the Hall of Fame of another sport, and that is Curt Flood.
Oh, I completely agree with you.
That is a good one.
And he
completely
should be in the Hall of Fame for the same reasons, because
he gave up his career
to
open the door.
Clause,
yeah.
Literally, along with a man named Marvin Mitchell, I believe his name is.
Marvin Miller.
Marvin Miller.
That literally changed
forever.
All pro sports forever and ever. Amen.
Yep.
And
good
I
call,
think
Tim.
That I understand where you're going with the Kaepernick thing. We have to let it play out. But Curt Flood in baseball as a contributor, he was a good player, maybe not a Hall of Fame quality, but what he did. And you talk about Kaepernick being blackballed. I heard Joe Torre on an HBO special about Curt Flood say that he allowed them to nail him to a cross.
Right.
For the betterment of baseball players. We sit here now and think logically, hey, I play for someone in the duration of my contract. My contract's over. I'll see what else is out there. You guys at your station, your contract's over. You see what's out there. That makes perfect sense to us now. But in the late 60s, that was looked at with an upturned nose. The players literally were indentured servants. So I think Kaepernick's thing has to play out, but using the same logic as I think Curt Flood should be in the Baseball Hall of Fame, eventually Kaepernick should be given consideration.
Okay, I think that's a really good call.
Yeah, thank you, Tim. Hey, Mace, to Tim's point, didn't you say one of the only prerequisites is you have to have been retired for 5 years?
Yeah, he's only 4, right?
Yeah, so he couldn't get in right now anyway, right?
Yeah, he's not eligible till after he's retired or
And I think that was kind of one of Tim's points is that, you know, the story's not over yet. So
and we don't know exactly where it's going, and we don't know what Kaepernick's next steps in this movement are going to be, and if they're the right steps. We just don't know. So, yeah, history will tell the story, and I agree with our caller. What's his name?
Tim.
Tim, because the story hasn't played out yet. So it's probably premature to say Colin Kaepernick for the Hall of Fame. Did you see what David Blaine did?
No.
You know who David Blaine is, right?
I do. Magician.
Yeah, I'll explain it next. Plus, let's put this. Who would you rather see the Lakers play, John? And I want you to explain it. Why? Coming up next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland. It is Wednesday. Thanks a lot for being out there. We do appreciate you migrating with us to middays. Means a lot to us. Keeps us getting checks. John, I want to make another bet on tonight's Oklahoma City Thunder-Houston Rockets game. I am going to put $5,000 mythical dollars on the under. The over-under number is 221.
Yeah, $5,000 mythical dollars on the under. Last night was like they barely scored 150
yeah,
points.
Yeah, I think Game 7's people lock up and crunch. So I think it's going to be a low score. Give me $5,000 mythical dollars on the under. I've already got $5,000 mythical dollars on OKC plus five and a half. You seem completely convinced that the Rockets are going to win tonight.
By double digits.
No.
Yeah. I think that big players normally step up in big moments. And this is for two former MVPs, Harden and Westbrook. This is it. And Mike D'Antoni is getting fired if they lose this job. Now, he may be getting fired and going to
Indiana
anyway.
He may be getting fired regardless, yeah.
But I don't think he wants it to be tonight. And I think those guys all know. I mean, like you and I really like Daryl Morey. We like him personally.
Yep.
I think these guys know, and Daryl's been great to all those guys, that if they lose, Daryl's fired. And I don't necessarily think they want to see Daryl get fired. So I think Houston has more to play for.
See, I look at things like this. This is a sassy stat. Worst field goal percentage on potential game-tying or go-ahead shots in the final minute of a playoff game. James Harden, 2 of 17. Russell Westbrook, 3 of 24. They don't hit big shots at the end of games.
Well, let's find out. Tonight, doesn't Harden have to play big tonight?
Harden has to be big, yeah. And Westbrook's got to rein it in a little bit and not settle. Don't settle for those threes. You're not the guy. You're not the guy. You're a career 30% three-point shooter. You're not the guy. How do you think the Lakers match up against you think the Lakers would be better off facing OKC than Houston?
Oh, yeah. They were 3-1 against OKC this year, but the loss was in the bubble.
Right. Yeah, that didn't
count.
So
I kind of throw that out. So I would say 3-0, and then the Lakers are 1-2. One of the losses was in the bubble against Houston, so we'll call it 1-1. I just think that there was a game, I've made reference to this, you know, a couple of times this week. There was a game played in Oklahoma City.
Yep.
That the Lakers, it was in January, the Lakers ended up winning by 15, but they won without LeBron and AD. And at one point, at the end of the first quarter, it was 41-19. And Oklahoma City had everybody. Kuzma went off, had 36. Rondo had a big game. I just think Oklahoma City is a better matchup for the Lakers.
What's fascinating about tonight is you've got the two guys that were traded for each other. You got Chris Paul now in OKC, and you got James.
And by the way, I made this reference yesterday. You love Usual Suspects. Isn't this the ultimate Kaiser Soze game
it
for
is.
Chris Paul?
It absolutely
is. I mean,
is.
If you wanted to get, like, they traded him basically to a team that was Basketball Siberia. The team was cutting bait. They were trading Paul George and Russell Westbrook. They were bringing in a bunch of kids. They loaded up on draft picks. They were predicted by Vegas, Mace, to win 30 games out of 82.
Yep.
And here they are in Chris Paul. They left Chris Paul on the side of the road for dead, and now he's got a chance to knock him out.
Yeah. And you know what? The Rockets, and I'll stand by this, we're a better team with Chris Paul and James Harden together as opposed to Russell Westbrook and James Harden together. Do you agree? They were better before. I know they got into a fight and it all melted down.
I think it's irrelevant because...
But were they better? Is that a better team, Chris Paul plus James Harden?
If Paul and Harden hate each other, no, I don't know.
No, just from basketball skills. Whose game complements Harden more?
Oh, CP3 is perfect. But the problem is that it, like Kevin O'Connor wrote about this today on The Ringer, it became a it's him or me deal.
Right.
And Daryl Morey had no choice. Harden's younger. He's, at that stage of his career, a more important player. You can't cut bait on Harden, so you had to get rid of CP3.
I think this will prove to be a failed science experiment, and I think Mike D'Antoni, I think, is going to be let go, fired, no matter what, when the Rockets go out. Because even if the Rockets advance, I still think the Lakers beat him in five.
Right, but you can't fire him if he beats the Lakers.
No. God, I just don't think they have a chance against the Lakers.
Yeah, they have I don't think they'll win.
I don't think Houston or OKC has a chance. I think both of them are five-game series. So I don't have a strong preference either way. But I will say, you know, the idea of how long have we worked together, John? 28 years?
Since 1994.
Since 1994. Are there times that we've hated each other?
Sure.
Yeah. Are there times we've gotten along great?
Yeah, but we've never been at the Chris Paul, James Harden stage where it's him.
Oh, no, there was a time that I thought it was over. Do you remember the time I thought it was over?
Oh, yeah, but I'm saying that we neither one of us has ever walked into somebody and said, I can't work with that guy, it's him or me. They made that decision
right
for
because
us
we
once.
Realized that we realized that we're good for each other.
Yeah, but Harden
we realized that we complement each other. James Harden couldn't see that Chris Paul complemented his game better than Russell Westbrook,
which is really dumb because they were one game away from knocking off the Warriors.
Yeah, I mean they were right there. That was a really good team. That was a much better team.
Hey, real quick here because I know you teased it. What's going on with David Blaine?
Okay, so remember David Blaine is like a musician.
I was going to say, if you guys want to wait, like...
Oh, you want to bring it in?
This break?
You want to do it during Radio Tinder?
Radio Tinder? Okay, let's do it. If you promise to do it in Radio Tinder, I'm good.
Yeah. And that's coming up next for you. Radio Tinder is next. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jets Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Swipe left, swipe right. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN. Lindsay is here with Radio Tinder. Lindsay, what you got?
Well, as you guys teased earlier, David Blaine, the illusionist, just pulled off one of his most ambitious stunts yet, one that he's titled Ascension. Now, I didn't know that they, like, you know, title their feats, but apparently they do. The illusionist floated over the Arizona desert on Wednesday by holding on to about 50 helium balloons, kind of like a scene from the movie Up. He began his ascent Wednesday morning, and the performance took about an hour from liftoff to landing. It was live-streamed on YouTube. Though his initial goal was to reach an altitude of about 18,000 feet, he ended up floating 24,900 feet,
wow,
or about 4.7 miles.
He almost went to space.
Yep, before he skydived and parachuted back to the ground. Have you guys ever, or would you ever, skydive, bungee jump, or anything similar? Swipe left or swipe right?
Swipe right. I am so mad that my news director, may he rest in peace, Dick Tuniga, passed away a few years ago, was my news director in San Diego, and I said, I want to bungee jump off the Coronado Bridge for a sweeps piece. And he said, well, you can't do it. We can't get the insurance. I said, I'll sign a waiver. If I die, I was very Kirk Cousins that day, Mace. I said, if I die, I'll sign my life away. But he refused to let me do it, and I still to this day have not bungee jumped, but I'd love to do it. How about you?
I'm swipe right. I have parachuted. It was a low one. I parachuted solo from 5,000 feet. I bungee jumped in Costa Rica. I was buried alive for 48 hours, which I think David Blaine may have done for longer.
Yeah, in New York.
For 2 days. in New York, right in front of my building, by the way, that friggin' Trump building I lived in. And I've been frozen alive in a block of ice. So I've done all those things. I call me unimpressed with David Blaine's stuff because I've done variations of a lot of it and I have no superpowers whatsoever.
I don't know. I think the balloon thing's pretty cool, especially when you think of a whole movie being written about it.
The guy needed oxygen up there to breathe, man.
Did he need oxygen?
Yeah, he had an oxygen tank up there.
Oh, wow. Yeah, yeah, no, it's impressive.
Well, yeah, you can't be thousands of feet in
right,
the air and not have it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah, no, I guess I'm impressed. Although I've done a lot of the same stuff. I've not done the balloon float or the ascension trick. So good for David Blaine. It's crazy to look at. I tweeted out a link of the video just a little while ago. You can pick it up at Venice Mace.
It's next on the list for you, huh? The balloon ascension.
Balloon ascension is next, yes. Who's the sponsor?
All right, next one.
Mark Cates, what do we got?
Yeah, we could find a balloon company, right? Or a helium company, something like that. All right, next story here. A Nebraska man urged his local city council to ban the term boneless chicken wings and replace it with more accurate terms in a comically passionate plea for culinary accuracy. Andrew Christensen makes the case to Lincoln lawmakers that, quote, we've been living a lie when it comes to poultry.
Lincoln has the opportunity to be a social leader in this country. We have been casually ignoring a problem that has gotten so out of control that our children are throwing around names and words without even understanding their true meaning. I'm talking about boneless chicken wings. I propose that we as a city remove the... I propose that we as a city remove the name boneless wings from our menus and from our hearts. These are our reasons why. Number one, nothing about boneless chicken wings actually come from the wing of a chicken. Number two, boneless chicken wings are just chicken tenders, which are already boneless. I don't go to order boneless tacos. I don't go and order boneless club sandwiches. I don't ask for boneless auto repair. And then number three, we need to raise our children better. Our children are raised being afraid of having bones attached to their meat. That's where meat comes from. It grows on bones. I propose that we rename boneless wings in the city of Lincoln. We can call them buffalo-style chicken tenders, wet tenders, saucy nugs, or trash. We can take these steps and show the country where we stand and that we understand that we've been living a lie for far too long.
Mm-hmm.
And we know it because we feel it in our bones.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Do you
speech.
Guys agree with Mr. Christensen that boneless wings should indeed be renamed? Swipe that, left or right?
Swipe left. That guy's an idiot. That guy's an elected.
I thought he was great.
That guy's an elected official, and he's spending time on this. Does he not know the list of problems we have in this country?
I'm going to swipe right. I think he's right.
He's not an elected official, though. He's just a random resident of the city of Lincoln that decided to go to a council meeting propose this.
Yeah, idiot.
That's awesome. No, you know what? I don't trust boneless wings. I just don't know where they've been. You know, I mean, a boneless wing, is it just pressed meat? Like, for example, I don't want to. There are restaurants that sell chicken nuggets. I think you know where I'm going. That is really just pressed meat. It's just meat pressed together and then deep fried. Now, I don't want to say what restaurant that is, but you can probably figure it out. I don't trust those things. I don't know what's in them. I don't even know is that real chicken? Is that a mix of chicken? What is that? I think that this guy's right. That wings are different from tenders and we should make that distinction now.
Blah, 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 blah.
I thought I made the biggest case I could for it.
Yeah, it's just a complete waste of time and resources. This is ridiculous. Do we really care if they're called chicken tenders or chicken wings? Mason's going to eat them no matter what they're called. Just serve
them up. True.
I kind of agree. Jorge, what do you think?
Oh, man, that guy lost me at boneless tacos. What the hell is he talking
about? Boneless tacos.
Idiot, man.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jorge.
The best part was when somebody started laughing and he was like, excuse me.
I'm trying to make a serious case here.
I thought he was great. You know, some of the world could use a little humor in some of these uptight councils.
Yeah, by the way, that's actually pretty funny that guy went and wrote out that speech and just did it in front of city council as a gag. I mean, it was just a joke.
It didn't sound like it was a joke to him. When somebody laughed, he got all offended.
He was playing it serious, but it was a joke.
He kind of looked like Napoleon Dynamite if his hair were straight.
Did he really? He looked like Napoleon Dynamite?
Well, that changes a little bit.
I'll tweet out the video.
Can he throw a football over a mountain?
Does he have an alpaca?
Yeah.
Probably. Wouldn't surprise me. All right, last one here. Another kind of weird story right up your guys' alley.
Excellent.
Good news for wrestling fans, Scrabble enthusiasts, and literal jabronis. The term jabroni is now an officially recognized term on dictionary.com. And it is listed as follows. Jabroni, with the pronunciation jabroni. It's a noun. Here are the definitions. One, it's slang, a stupid, foolish, or contemptible, I don't know that word, person, loser, always has been a comeback to the trolls.
Wait,
of jabroni
the word you were
on
trying,
Twitter.
Is the word you were trying to say contemptible?
Yep, that's it, contemptible.
Okay.
There we go.
All right.
Sorry, my handwriting isn't so neat.
Okay.
She always has a comeback to own the trolls and jabronis on Twitter, a.k.a. shut your mouth, you dumb jabroni, also called enhancement talent or jobber. In professional wrestling, that's a wrestler whose purpose is to lose matches against the headlining wrestlers in order to build up the status and fame of headliners. Quote, the man is a legend in the ring. He eats jabronis for breakfast. Have you guys ever used the term jabroni, or will you now that it's part of the English lexicon? Swipe left or swipe right.
Can I use it now? Raise my hand here. The guy with the boneless wings is a jabroni.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jorge.
There you go, Jorge.
Yeah, you know, I was going to say I've never used it, but I would swipe right on using it in the future. I'm going to call either LZ or George a jabroni the next time they say Anthony Davis
well,
is a stiff.
The Urban Dictionary says jabroni is white trash, a term professional wrestlers use as an insult.
I mean, it was coined by The Rock.
No, I can't use it on George or LZ.
It's true. You know, I
think that's just, I don't know. Now that it's in dictionary.com and there's a legitimate definition for it, I think that you can make a case to use it against them. And
okay.
I think Michael Thompson would be really impressed if you were to ever use the term jabroni in a Lakers broadcast.
Okay.
He would lose his mind. Maybe that should be one of our next, you know.
John, do you think you can work jabroni into a broadcast? It's a tough one.
Yeah, let me think about it. Until you said it refers to a specific person's skin color, I thought I could get away with it.
But that's the Urban Dictionary. Different.
But that's the Urban Dictionary.
Yeah, but Jorge, the Urban Dictionary a lot of times is better than the regular dictionary.
I see that.
Yeah, so all right, let me think about it. If I can do it, I'll do it.
Okay, good. We'll be listening for it. And that's it. That's all I have today for radio.
Okay,
dinner.
Cool. Nice work, as always. Hey, I want to remind everybody, I hope you're paying attention. Something in there could have been could be on the quiz on Friday.
Could come from Radio Tinder, that's true.
At 3:15. So remember everything that we said during that, because it could be on the quiz. There's a question from every day this week. And if you answer all five questions on Friday at 3:15, you win a $100 gas card plus... We're giving away a brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30 from John Patterson at OC Mazda, Tustin Mazda, Huntington Beach Mazda. And we appreciate John doing this as we launch our return to middays. If you win on Friday, $100 gas card and a key that might start that brand new 2021 Mazda CX-30. So keep on listening. There might be a question there. There might be a question in what we just talked about. All right. If I die, I die. If I die, I die.
Uh-huh.
That phrase is out there a lot today.
Yeah.
You want to talk about it next?
Yeah. Because I don't understand why everybody's all worked up. Let's get into it.
All right. That's coming up next for you. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.